when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Harriet Minter, and this is the Badass Women's Hour. I have a lot of news for you this week. As some of you might know, this podcast features interviews from my radio show on Talk Radio. However, I've now moved on to pastures new and, well, things different, so as it goes, all good things must come to an end. And this podcast is also coming to a close. But don't worry, I'm still with you for a bit. We've got a few more brilliant badass women that I want you to hear from, so we'll be going all the way up to our 400th episode. I think that's about another 6 weeks, and then I will have something new coming, so stay tuned for details. But this week, I'm focusing on health, and specifically women's health. A few weeks ago, the government put an open call out for women to complete a survey about their healthcare experiences. Over 100,000 women have filled in the survey, and the government are now going to use the results to decide how they change health in this country for women going forward. As someone who has spent more than her fair share of time in doctor's offices over the years, I cannot wait for change. Too often, I have felt patronised, dismissed, shamed by the healthcare profession. And I want to be honest, this includes women as well as men. And the thing that's interesting here is that for a long time, I was very, very angry at doctors for this. But actually, it's not really their fault. So when you look at it, this kind of bias against women is built into medical training from day one. So med students, particularly those who are going on to become GPs, will only spend a small amount of time studying anything to do with women's health. I mean, it's barely a module. And most of that is obstetrics and baby-based. So unless they choose to specialize in it, when you go and see a doctor, particularly when you go and see your GP, they really know about as much as you do. If you've ever had that experience of being in with your GP, telling them about a problem, and then they start Googling the symptoms, yeah, they don't know either. And that's not their fault. It's just they've got a lot of stuff to get through on the syllabus, and women's issues, women's health, takes up a very, very small part. But what that means then is sometimes it's very easy for them to dismiss issues. So we know endometriosis, in particular, massive issues of dismissal, but also massive issues of GPs seeing it as something that was hysteria related, that was in some way women being a bit hysterical about their own bodies. And there's a really interesting question, which is, well, is it hysterical women who get endometriosis, or does endometriosis and the lack of care, attention, and help available for it make women hysterical? Because quite frankly, if you have ever suffered from the pain of it and then been told that you are making it up, well, I think that would make most of us a little bit angry. And then on top of this, not only do medical students hardly study anything to do with women's health, but what they do study, all of their syllabus, has largely been based on the experiences of men. Now, what this means is that for most clinical trials, up until the 90s, most clinical trials excluded women, so women couldn't be part of them. Which meant that when the kind of textbooks were being written about how patients responded to particular cures or particular symptoms that they experienced, those patients were men. We see this in heart attacks, for example. Women display the symptoms of a heart attack in a woman are completely different to the symptoms of a heart attack in a man. So women are having heart attacks and it's not being recognized because doctors are being taught that a heart attack looks a certain way. And so women complain of it, and then because they don't match the symptoms exactly, they're ignored. And if you're a woman of colour, then you'll face not just gender bias, but racism too. So we know that more Black women die in childbirth due to myths around Black women's brain thresholds and a level of dismissal, really, from the medical profession that no other group faces. And as last week's guest, Dr. Pragya Agrawal, explained, Asian women face greater discrimination when trying to access fertility treatment. Again, because they just don't have those people backing them up and showing their other experiences for doctors to understand and learn from. Anything we can do to finally address this and make medicine inclusive for all is a good thing. So, and this is a rare occurrence, on this occasion, I think the government has got it right. Now they just have to act on it. It's not enough just to ask women for their experiences. You have to listen to them too.
This is the Badass Women's Hour podcast.
Talking of women's health, one woman who is out to improve how all of us understand our bodies is Amy Thompson. Founder of the Moody app, Amy has now written a book all about hormones. She's been obsessed with our hormones and how they work ever since she found herself on the other side of a hormonal crisis. She explains the simple things we can all look out for when it comes to our health and just why women's hormones are having a moment right now.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So tell us a little bit about Moody and why you founded it.
So Moody was and is technology which allows you to track your daily moods and symptoms around your hormone cycle. So what it does is help you understand the changes across your emotional, physical health across your cycle. Not because it's about control, but because it's about being able to identify patterns. Because the more that we can understand the patterns of our emotional, physical health, exactly as you were just saying, the more we can tune into ourselves and we can actually start to better understand the commonalities or the things that each month we maybe want to better prepare for or just tune into for productivity. And in building the technology, what happened was I realized we've been deep in research for 5 years in hormonal science, in psychology, because what I've realized, and literally as you were saying there about all these different experts, so many people sit in so many different fields that actually it was interesting to see the crossover between emotional health and the physical health connection between our hormones. And that's why I also put the book together, because I realized there was a lot of information that I'd researched that felt like it should just be in a physical form as well, not just in the technology, but also maybe written out.
What are some of the things that you learned that you just were like, oh my God, why has nobody told me this before?
Well, firstly, I know I talk a lot about it, and a lot of people do know now that there are four phases to your menstrual cycle. So even if you're having an irregular cycle, you will still have a structure around rising estrogen and how estrogen affects your mental health. So this idea that it's your kind of power up hormone, and it can make you feel incredibly energized. It can make you feel incredibly sharp, incredibly productive. Mm-hmm. But then there are these changes that happen around when estrogen becomes slightly lower, and that can make us feel maybe a bit more insular, a bit more reserved. And it was this kind of idea that actually, rather than structuring my life around a 24-hour cycle, which is what we've all been told, we should get up every day and do the same, it was this realization that there are these emotional and chemical changes happening in our body, and they affect our ability to get up every day and be and feel the same, whether we like it or not. And so actually being able to understand that there are things going on underneath my skin which help contextualize almost how I was feeling about my everyday health and well-being. The idea that the hormones affect my mental health, I think, was game changer for me.
It's so funny, isn't it?
Obviously.
It feels like we sort of know that, right? Because we sort of know, I know that actually about a week before I get my period, I'm really likely to cry at every advert. And in my head, I know that, but I never think about how can I work with that? I have it in my head as this thing that will happen, and I'll be like, oh God, should have realized. How can we work with our hormones?
Well, this is actually why the technology exists, in the sense that it was exactly as you were saying, every person is slightly different. Mm-hmm. And what's true of all these things, whether it be tracking an illness or whether it be tracking just kind of everyday health and well-being, what you're looking for is patterns and correlations of things that repeat every month, every week, potentially every day. And what our brains do is we forget pain. So we're programmed very effectively to actually not remember when we feel like we're going to cry every single time at a certain point of every month. You know, we don't tune into that side of things. So actually being able to have something that allows you to not be reminded of a negative, but actually be able to understand that there's a correlation, and it's something that you can then go, actually, I'm just going to accept that this is how I feel every single month at this moment in time. It's almost the ability to use technology to reflect patterns back to us. And most technology is about making life easier, in theory. You know, the ethics of technology is a whole probably different discussion. But the idea that we can build something that just helps us better understand ourselves and the patterns that are happening in our daily, weekly, monthly lives, which I think
is very useful. Very, very useful. Is it just women that experience these cycles, or is it men as well?
No, it's men as well. So I think, again, I think we've talked about this before even, that what's interesting is there's a lot more research into the female hormone space in terms of the emotional, physical changes because of the contraceptive and the HRT, which are two very, very profitable pharmaceutical drugs. Mm-hmm. And so when you see research in depth, it tends to be connected to a pharmaceutical solution. And so what this research gives us is very interesting foundation points. But what's really interesting now is that's actually something we can harness through technologies to help us be more optimal. Whereas actually for men, there is research to show that testosterone cycles are 24 hours. So when you look at metabolism in the same age cohort of 25 to 35 take, metabolism is often for men 24 hour, get up, feel the same, can work out in the same way. Whereas for women, our estrogen cycles across our monthly cycle has a different effect. And so there is knowledge that testosterone cycles are 24 hours, but it's really quite basic and it's very functional research rather than this understanding of how does testosterone across a man's life cycle affect his emotional health? How do cycles, you know, of environmental factors, you know, reality of the stresses and the anxiety disorders that are paramount in a pandemic or epidemic, sorry, across men and women or all genders. And so I think it's really actually interesting to start to think about how do we really, now that we're looking more at mental health, rather than focus on how you control or cure or manage these experiences of hormones, how do we better understand how they're affecting everyone, both, you know, female and male?
I think that's absolutely fascinating. It's so interesting also that, you know, we talk about hormones as an area where there isn't a lot of research in it, and certainly there isn't necessarily a lot of research for women, but there's an awful lot more for women because, as you say, there are expensive drugs behind it than there is for men.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
You have taken this knowledge and written a book, which is called Moody, The Hormone Guide. Why did you decide to put it into book format?
Well, I think anyone writing a book, and as you know, Harriet, as you have just written a book, I was realizing I was looking at this research, and there was so much research, and there was so much work that went into just the technology that wasn't, you know, necessarily visible to the user per se. So when you're building technology, you're building something that helps someone understand, but it has to be very easy to use. You can't write a book and then ask someone to use technology. You have to build the experience so that it naturally feels as though you're tracking. And I realized that there was just an opportunity to share some of the information, but also it took me a really long time to understand the correlation between my own stress cycles and that they were hormonal, and even that happiness is hormonal. And I felt like it was really important information. And you said at the beginning about what was really game changer. I think the idea that hormones helped me have a almost like contextualized idea of emotional health that stopped it feeling abstract and something that was happening outside me. So the idea that when we feel stress, adrenaline, cortisol is released. Mm-hmm. And when we're in sustained stress states, those chemicals are continually releasing and therefore have an effect on other cycles like sleep and metabolism and also just general health. And then also happiness, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, you know, the chemicals, both neurotransmitters and hormones, that science and that kind of language helped me almost better understand that I was able to give myself self-care when I was feeling stressed, because I needed happy hormones. Rather than it feeling like an indulgence, it felt more contextual. Mm. And so the book was written from my experience as well. And I do think there's a lot more books that need to be written in this space, but to help give people more language around some of the things that helped me better articulate what was going on both inside and also just outside with the way that relationships form, how we're attracted to people, even just how I felt about myself. And that science and that language was very transformative for me, so it felt an important thing to share.
I mean, it's so interesting to say that, because I always like to bring up the one time that I was part of a medical experiment, which was when I was at university and I was asked to go and sniff T-shirts that men had slept in the night before and then rank their smell in order of attractiveness, because the university was positing that basically you would be more attracted to certain T-shirts on certain times of the month than others. And that was my first kind of introduction to the idea that actually my body was sort of making me do things that I wasn't aware of. And that actually, if I understood what was going on with my hormones, I might understand perhaps some of the decisions I was making or some of the ways I was feeling. For you, what changed in your life when you realized, oh, hang on, this is not just my brain at work here, this is my body at work too?
I just felt less guilty. So when we live in a society where guilt is for women paramount in almost everything that we do. And I was really, and you know, I'd done a lot. I'd had all these kind of, you know, success elements in my life, and I still didn't really understand myself. And so actually starting to understand how my body worked just made me appreciate it better. And it made me feel empowered when I cried, because I knew that crying released stress hormones. And it was a really great way to retrain and feel empowered by my emotional health as something that was happening as part of a process. And therefore what I needed was self-care. And it actually also made me feel much more in tune with the ability to take time off, to give myself more, you know, kind experiences and the things that I needed, you know, listening to my favorite tracks and music when I felt really low to help myself chemically, you know, come out of it through the experiences that I knew that were happening. So less guilt and a lot more acceptance and kindness to myself without feeling like I was slipping into an Instagram trend or a kind of, you know, into an affirmation quote. And it felt to me like a really, really good way to better be connected with my body and myself.
finally, you know, you talked there about self-care, and I think often when we talk about self-care, we do feel like we're an Instagram quote, right? We feel like a bit of a cliche. But is there, are there one or two things that fall into that self-care category that we know have a direct impact on our hormones?
Yes, many things. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most profound, and again, it's interesting that it's becoming such a trend at the moment, that we found works really, really well is breath work. And one of the reasons for that is that you're looking at breath is something you really do take for granted. And often we hold our breath when we're stressed, which says everything about the way that your body responds without really your choice. And being able to rhythmically look at how you breathe and looking at kind of processes around your body's ability to absorb oxygen, the very baseline of our, you know, mental, physical health. And it's something that I think, you know, neurologically is impacted, but also hormonally is impacted around reducing cortisol and adrenaline. But the other thing is music as well. So anything that is sensorial, so anything that makes you feel good energy wise, often has a kind of effect on your nervous system, and therefore is also having an effect in terms of reducing stress and supporting your kind of overall mental physical health. And I think these are the things that we know intuitively work, but I think the breathwork piece is really interesting for me, because I think, again, it's being positioned into this kind of quite trend orientated environment space, which wellness can very much consume a lot of ideas. And then people feel a bit silly sometimes being that person that's now into breathwork. But we really should all start to understand how important these things are for just creating better rhythm and simply being able to tune back into calm states. And I would advise anybody that hasn't tried it to just try it, because meditation is, again, part of that. But meditation is actually very hard and takes a lot of practice, whereas breathwork is a little easier. And I'm biased, and I'm sure we can have a discussion about this. But for everyone that has, you know, tried meditation and maybe dropped it, and it's something we included in the app for this reason, that actually breathwork really does help very quickly reset and make you feel back in your zone without having to be practicing every single day in a meditative state.
I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Amy. It's always a joy to talk to you, and I cannot wait to read the book, which is out now, Moody, The Hormone Guide by Amy Thompson. Do go check it out, particularly if you are someone like me who knows that kind of things happen on a regular basis and you sort of feel them, but you don't really plan it out, or you don't really think about how you can look after yourself when you're in the midst of it. And guys, it goes for you too. You have your own hormone cycles. If you notice you feel different at certain times of the day or the month, that's your hormones. You can help them out by looking after them. So do go grab the book.
That was Amy Thompson, author of Moody, A 21st Century Hormone Guide. This week's listener problem digs into something that, to be frank, I know nothing about. Running. Help. Okay, so this is what it says. I don't buy into the whole hot girl summer thing, but recently I've wanted to up my exercise. Lockdown has been a bit more of a sit down for me, and I know I need to do something about this. So I've started running. I'm doing the Couch to 5K app. At first I was really into it, but now I just can't find the motivation. I don't want this to be another thing I fail at. How can I get to the end? So personal confession here, I have started the Couch to 5K app, I suggest probably about 7 times, and I have never got all the way to the end, ever. A few years ago, I took up running the park run with an amazing friend of mine. We did it every week for about a year, and I think I got around it as a run once, so I'd have to run walk all the way around. I am not a runner. I have accepted that about myself. But I do know a little bit about motivation and a little bit about feeling like a failure for not completing it. So these are some things that I know. First of all, you are not a failure because you don't complete something. And being a failure isn't that bad a thing anyway. It means you tried something. And trying is better than not trying. Trying and failing, I would argue, is sometimes even better than trying and succeeding. Because generally when we've tried and failed at something, we've gone outside of our comfort zone. So if you have tried and failed, don't beat yourself up about it, because that's just going to sap your motivation even more. actually be proud of the fact that you put yourself out there, laced up your running shoes and got out. Doesn't matter that you didn't get to the end, you tried it. That's the first thing to remember. However, if you have a real bee in your bonnet about wanting to complete this one thing, then brilliant, let's go for it. Here are some things that could help. First of all, find out what motivates you. So Gretchen Rubin has written a brilliant book where she analyzes four personality types and looks at how they are motivated. I think it's called The Four Types, but it's by Gretchen Rubin. She also wrote a book on happiness, which is also excellent, but it's not that one. So in her book, Gretchen Rubin says that basically we generally fall into four types of people. So the first type of people are intrinsically motivated. So they are achievers. They set themselves a goal and they don't stop until they get to the goal. Now, we all like to believe that we are that person, but actually it's quite rare. Very few people are. And if you are one of those people, oh, how I envy you. Life must be so simple. Second types of people are people who are motivated by doing things for others. So like that year when I went running every weekend on a Saturday, it was because I did it with a friend. I wouldn't have got up to go running by myself, but because I knew she was waiting for me, I felt compelled to go and do it. So if you know that you are more likely to do something if somebody else is relying on you, then get a friend and get them on this Couch to 5K app too, and ensure you're doing it together. That way you're going to feel like maybe you don't want to go for a run, but they're waiting for you or they're relying on you. So you're more likely to do it. Third type of people are what's called questioners. So they have to know why they're doing something. So if this is you, then perhaps you might want to think about why it is you really want to complete this app. It might be that actually you want to prove to yourself that you can do it. It might be because you think it's going to help your fitness or your aerobic level. It might be because actually you think running is going to help you feel better mentally. Whatever it is, take a scientific approach to this and see if you can prove yourself right. So for example, if you think that you are going to feel better if you continue the Couch to 5K app, well, then note down how you feel at the start of your run and how you feel after. When you start to see the evidence back up, that will answer your why and you'll feel more likely to continue. And then finally, there are what Gretchen Rubin calls the rebel personalities. So these are people who just, well, they don't really like being told what to do, even by themselves. So when they tell themselves they're going to do something, they instantly then find a way to get out of it. I am one of these people. It is a nightmare. But what I've learned along the way is that the way to kind of trick yourself into doing things, even when you've decided you don't want to, is to make it part of who you are. So you heard me say at the start of this answer, I am not a runner. Well, I'm not. And because I'm saying that I am not a runner, it's going to be really hard for me to ever get into running in a big way. I've accepted that about myself. However, if you do want to become a runner, then the way to get there as a rebel is to start saying, I am a runner. I'm a runner. And as a runner, I get up early to go for a run. I don't drink too much the night before because I am going to get up early to go for a run. I make sure I have the best trainers so that I go for a run. Basically, do everything around the running that someone who is a runner would do. And you'll find that actually you start lacing up your trainers and getting out there just as it is. So that's Gretchen Rubin and her four personality types. I really do recommend having a look into it. It's so useful. The other thing to just remember is that there are kind of two forms of motivation. So the first one is very much a push and the second one is very much a pull. So there is a push form of motivation and that kind of says inspiration is for amateurs. We're not waiting to feel like we want to do it. We are just doing it. Get out there and go. This is a kind of more disciplined form of motivation, and we should all try and cultivate a bit of this in our lives. So this discipline just says it's in the diary and we are doing it. We're not waiting to feel like doing it. We're out of here. You might have seen this in the running blogs where they say, just put your trainers on. And by the time you put your trainers on, you'll be ready to go. So try a bit of this for a week. See if you can give yourself a good push to make it happen. If you can't, you might be more of a pull person. So you're somebody who needs to feel the lure of it. And that's okay too. So maybe you're somebody who needs to feel like they want to go for a run. I know people will say that's not the way it's meant to be, but actually I believe we can do that. We can just trust our bodies to tell us when we want to do the exercise we want to do. You've already done it. Your body has already decided that it wanted to start moving after a year of sitting down. So it knows when it's time to move. And maybe right now it's telling you it's time to rest or that it wants to do a different form of exercise. Perhaps it wants to go dancing today or do some yoga. Make some time to sit down and listen to your body and ask it what it wants. And I promise you, at some point, it will want to go for a run. And when it does, download your app, get going, and off you go. That's all for this week's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't worry, we're here again next week. There is more coming up. If you've liked the show, please do rate, review. Even though we're coming to an end, we want people to keep discovering it. So the more you do that, the more new listeners we can get. And if you loved it and you want to come and talk to me or follow me, you can find me on social media at Harriet Minter.
You've been listening to Badass Women's Hour. If you like the show, then help more people find us. You can tag us or talk to us on social media using at Badass Women's Hour. Or you can be really lovely and leave us a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. It helps boost us up the podcast rankings and allows other people to find us. We'll be back next week with more badass guests and in-depth chat.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.